And we are back. Welcome back to another episode of the Depressed Cincinnati Sports Fan Podcast. I am Jesse on this podcast. We're going to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals having now a new offensive coordinator in Dan Pitcher. Brian Callahan has moved on and was introduced as the Tennessee Titans' next head coach. We'll talk about that. Also, we got Conference Championship Sunday in the NFL. We got Chiefs and Ravens in the AFC. And then we got the NFC, we got the Lions and the 49ers. And then we're going to talk about UC basketball, recapping the week. And UC basketball is really frustrating me. It's great that they're relevant. It's great that they're playing in the best basketball conference in the Big 12, like I've stated on this podcast this year. But they're losing games where they should not be losing because of just carelessness when it comes to turning the ball over, going on offensive droughts, etc., etc. So we'll talk about UC basketball week. And then we got a special podcast coming up real soon. And the person that will be on my podcast, the person I get a chance to interview on my podcast, is going to be refereeing in this year's Super Bowl. So I'll talk about that as we get down into the podcast later. Now, let's talk about the Bengals. And it's been a busy week for Cincinnati Bengals. So I think this happened on Monday or Tuesday. So Bengals offensive coordinator, former Bengals offensive coordinator, Brian Callahan, who's been with the team since 2019, it was announced that he was going to go to Tennessee to become the Titans' next head football coach. And Brian Callahan has done a lot here for Cincinnati. He has done a lot for Joe Burrow in this offense. So he deserves a standing ovation for his time here in Cincinnati. I wish him nothing but the best. He's been getting interviews dating back to last year. And I thought he was going to get a head coaching positioning last year, but he didn't. So it was a long time coming. He deserves it. And it's also a good thing that Zach Taylor's coordinators are getting head coaching interviews. And it's a good thing that when your coordinators are getting head coaching positions somewhere else, it just reflects on how good this team has been over the last couple of seasons. So congratulations to Brian Callahan and company. And I wish him the best in Tennessee. And he's going into a unique situation. The Titans are maybe in a rebuild move just because Derrick Henry, their great running back, might not be back. And then when it comes to the quarterback positioning, Ryan Tannehill won't be there next year. So Will Levis, who they drafted in last year's draft out of Kentucky, is probably right now viewed as their franchise quarterback. So with Brian Callahan having so much experience being an offensive coordinator and coaching Joe Burrow, I think that's going to help Will Levis, and it could work out. It could work out, but I think that he's going to go through a rebuild mode down there, and he's used to that because when he came to Cincinnati in 2019 and when the Bengals sucked, it was really bad. Pause. So I think that with him having that experience, going through that, and now he's going to be the head coach in Tennessee, I think having that experience is going to help him. And I think he's going to do a good job in Tennessee. And the Bengals do play the Titans again in Tennessee this season in 2024. So it'll be interesting to see how Brian Callahan does his time in Tennessee. But I wish him nothing but the best. So moving on from Callahan, in comes Dan Pitcher, who has been the Bengals quarterback coach since the Marvin Lewis era. And just keeping Dan Pitcher with this team, it just felt like the Bengals were going to promote him to become the next offensive coordinator. And Dan Pitcher, he deserves it. And the Bengals announced on Thursday that he is now officially the Bengals offensive coordinator. Now, Dan Pitcher, he arrived at Paycor Stadium just days after the Bengals' 2015 wildcard game. basically as an offensive quality control coach who worked with receivers in 2016 and in 2017, and then became the quarterback's coach in 2018. So when Zach Taylor arrived in 2019, he listened to the internal recommendations and put Pitcher in charge of the game clock management as the assistant quarterback's coach before he assumed the command of the room the next year. And Dan Pitcher was with Marvin Lewis when Marvin Lewis was still the Bengals head coach. And this was Marvin Lewis had to say about him. He said, "Very smart, a hard worker. The Colts said nothing but good things about him, and the scope of the work he did there was very impressive," Marvin Lewis says. "He did a great job at every task he was given. You could feel right away he would be a good coach on the field with the players. He was very comfortable around the players all the time." So I think it's just, this made sense. And I think some Bengals fans wanted Joe Brady, who is the Bills' offensive coordinator. And Joe Brady was the offensive coordinator in LSU when Joe Burrow played. And 2019, you know about the LSU team, probably the best college football offense ever. So a lot of people were thinking, oh, the Bengals should target him. It would have been nice, but I think that Dan Pitcher makes sense because he's been with this Bengals team for a while. He knows the system, he knows the scheme, and it just makes sense. So I think what Dan Pitcher did this past season was really, really incredible. With Joe Burrow getting hurt for the season, and then in comes Jake Browning, the Bengals went 5-5, and they went 4-3 the rest of the way and nearly made the playoffs behind Jake Browning's historical accuracy. So Jake Browning, under Dan Pitcher as the quarterback coach, 71.5% completion of his passes, of his 228 passes, second best by a quarterback in the last 74 seasons, making his first seven starts, according to Pro Football Focus, or reference. And the stretch is among the best in club history for Bengals quarterbacks making their first seven starts in the NFL. So Jake Browning's 1,868 passing yards are second only to Joe Burrow's 2,023 passing yards, and Browning's 99.1 passer rating and 11 touchdowns passes are only second to only 1968 AFL Rookie of the Year Greg Kirk, according to Pro Football Reference. Zach Taylor said he had excelled in his job of helping develop our quarterbacks over the past 5 years. He has been a top contributor to our scheme, and that role will now increase. Now, with Pitcher at his side, Joe Burrow has a quick start. As a rookie, he had the second most completions, second most yards by any quarterback in his first 10 games, according to Pro Football Reference. And that's what Jake Browning said about Dan Pitcher. He says he's grown into being the OC in the same building where he started out as a quarterback's coach. Sometimes that can be difficult because there's not many guys left in the building from where he was a quality control guy. But he kept stepping up into these different roles that requires players to see you in a different light, whether it's a quarterback's coach or running a position group or running a whole offense. I think he's done a great job along the way, having a good connection with guys and has a wide range of personalities he can connect with. Also, Brownie says, "I always felt like no matter what you ask him, he knew the answer and he'll work on getting you the answer. That sounds really simple, but that's just good communication. When you feel like you could walk into a game prepared, I always felt prepared when I was playing for him." And that's just really great. And I just think that Dan Pitcher is going to help this offense elevate into hopefully elite status. I'm not saying this offense wasn't elite last season or this past season. There was just a lot of inconsistency with this offense. And for some reason, this Bengals offense with so many weapons that they have, it's just that in the beginning of season, this Bengals offense do struggle. And this offense doesn't really get going towards the middle of the season. Like, I'm okay with peaking later on the season, like around mid-October, and then you just go on an on-fire offensive just tear over the next 2 months, and hopefully that's lead up to the January and beyond, that means that you're in the playoffs. But I just want this Bengals offense to be consistent from day one, and that starts with hopefully keeping your quarterback and Joe healthy throughout training camp and et cetera. And in the beginning of the season, you just hope that he can be there healthy, and then he'll have reps with his players, and they can just start from the start from the top and just click, just like that. You're going to have, obviously, some, you know, rough spots in the offense, but majority, you want this offense just to be on point from day one. So Dan Pitcher says that he wants to emulate Brian Callahan in variety of ways, particularly when it comes to treating people. That's what he said in his presser on Thursday. I really appreciate who he is as a person and how he treated me. I saw the benefits of how he treated everyone else, and I want to continue in that vein. Treat people the right way, respect them, ask a lot of them because you know they can provide a lot, and then moving in the same direction. So I'm really happy for Dan Pitcher. He deserves this offensive coordinator position. And he's only 37 years old. He turned that age early this year. So Joe Burrow, before the AFC title game last year, really spoke highly of Dan. And when Joe Burrow speaks, everyone listens. So when he has high praises for anybody, but if he says something that is, like, really important, I think everyone just, like, their ears and their eyes they're all wide open. And the quote when he said that Dan Pitcher has meant a lot to him and that they both mesh so well, it's, like, it's easy. Like, they both, like, click. That just made me realize that, okay, I knew last year that Brian Callahan was going to get interviews for other head coaching positions. But in my mind, I was thinking, Dan Pitcher is going to be the Bengals' next offensive coordinator. I don't know when, but I knew that he was going to replace Brian Callahan whenever Brian Callahan gets an opportunity to be a head coach somewhere else. So congratulations, Dan Pitcher. You deserve a standing ovation for that. And I'm looking forward to this offense just to be more dynamic, and I know Zach Taylor is still going to be the play caller, but I just hope that he gives Dan Pitcher more responsibility when it comes to play calling. I don't know if that's the case because I know Zach Taylor is selfish, and I don't think his ego will allow that to happen, but I really, 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 really hope that is the case because, my goodness, as much as a good head coach, locker room guy Zach Taylor is, and he does call some good games, okay? Zach Taylor, there's a couple times last year he was in his bag when it comes to play calling games. But the majority of times over the last two seasons when the Bengals have made it to the Super Bowl and made it to the conference title game, there'll be times where I'm like, Zach, why are we calling this at this magnitude of the game? And sometimes I'm just like very confused, and I just wrap my mind in my head. I'm like, really? Like, I don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that. So I hope that with Dan Pitcher having so much experience in this organization, that Zach Taylor will give him, like, just more of the play calling duties than him. I hope, and my wish is that he can give up play calling 100% to Dan Pitcher. That's not going to happen, unfortunately. So I just hope Zach Taylor and Dan Pitcher have, like, a good plan in store when it comes to that. I really do. So congrats to Brian Callahan on being the next Tennessee Titans head coach. And congratulations to Dan Pitcher on being the Cincinnati Bengals' next offensive coordinator. I need to take a drink. Give me a second. Always hydrate. Okay. So we got Championship Sunday here in the NFL. In the AFC title game, we got the Kansas City Chiefs against the Baltimore Ravens. In the NFC title game, we have the Detroit Lions against the San Francisco 49ers. Man, I cannot believe the Bills choked that game away last Sunday against the Chiefs at home. Their kicker, Tyler Bass, missed a field goal wide right. Buffalo fans are accustomed to knowing that quote from when they lost the Super Bowl by a missed field goal that went wide right. But unfortunately, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are back in the AFC title game for the fourth straight year. Either way, it just feels like the Chiefs are always in the AFC title game, and it just makes me sick. But they're the road team, but it didn't matter in Buffalo last week because they won. They were taking on the Baltimore Ravens, who are the AFC's top seed, and they waxed the Houston Texans last Saturday in the divisional round 34-10. That game will start at 3 o'clock Eastern on CBS. Man, this is tough, guys. I do not like both fan bases, and I'm starting to hate the Ravens fan base even more because I call them purple people because they're just so annoying. And I've been doing my best staying off social media, and it's actually been helpful because I don't want to interact with those wacko people. But I don't like Chiefs fans either. Ugh, this is a tough game to pick. But if I had to choose, oh my gosh. Like, I've been at a dead end. Just who would I want to win this game? Because obviously, I am rooting for the NFC to win the Super Bowl. That's a guaranteed. But if I had to pick who's going to win this game on Sunday between the Ravens and the Chiefs, it's going to be a really good football game. And it can go either way. It really can go either way. Guys, for some reason, I just think that the Chiefs are going to win this game. I just feel like the NFL is scripted. The NFL wants Taylor Swift to be at this year's Super Bowl in Vegas. I mean, Usher's performing the halftime show. If the Chiefs make the Super Bowl, I guarantee Usher will probably have Taylor Swift come down to the halftime show and perform something. It just feels like that's like the NFL's wanting that to happen. And I feel like with the Chiefs making the Super Bowl and Taylor Swift being there, it could be the most highly rated Super Bowl ever because there'd be so many Swifties watching the game. It just feels like it's scripted. So I am taking, this really hurts to say, I'm taking the Chiefs to beat the Ravens. And the Chiefs will be back in the Super Bowl and looking to go back-to-back. It's been a while since a team has went back-to-back since the Patriots dynasty in the early 2000s. Yeah, Chiefs are beating the Ravens. And I see this game being a game where whoever have the ball last will win the game. And I see the Chiefs kicking the winning field goal with seconds left. I'll say the final score will be Chiefs 26, Ravens 23. Ugh, that just pains me to say that, guys. It really does. So the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl. Let's go on the NFC side. Detroit Lions against the San Francisco 49ers. Lions beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last Sunday at home in the divisional round 31-23. And then the Packers barely surviving and beating the Green Bay Packers 24-21 last Saturday in the rain game in Santa Clara. This is going to be a good football game. And right now, if you're a betting person, the Lions are 7.5-point underdogs, and it's plus 320 money line for the Detroit Lions to beat the San Francisco 49ers. You know what? I'm taking the Lions, guys. I think the Detroit Lions and their Cinderella run continues, and they're going to defeat the San Francisco 49ers and head to the Super Bowl. Yes, the Detroit Lions are going to the Super Bowl. I can't believe I uttered those words out of my mouth. I mean, 2 years ago, I didn't thought that I was going to utter that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. So the Lions are going to the Super Bowl, and obviously I am rooting on for the Detroit Lions to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, the Lions and Chiefs did play each other in the first game of the season this past year in Kansas City, where the Lions beat the Chiefs. So first game of the year, Lions-Chiefs. The last game of the year is going to be Lions-Chiefs for the Super Bowl. Ugh, I can't believe the Chiefs. I can't believe I just picked the Chiefs. Then again, if I picked the Ravens, I would have been even more like, ugh. But still, though, I just wish that both teams would just lose. But that, you can't. You can't do that. I mean, go Detroit. And if San Francisco beats the Lions, I'm running for the 49ers as well, too. So, all right. So moving on, let's talk about UC basketball. Man, this team, we're 6 games into Big 12 conference play, and this basketball team will keep you on your toes, to say the least. So last Saturday, UC took on, at the time, number 15 Oklahoma at home, and UC lost 69-65. This game was very frustrating. UC started off the game playing just outstanding defense. Oklahoma did not have a point in the game until, I believe, the 14-minute mark of the first half. But UC only had 4 points. And then Oklahoma started making shots. And then UC just continued to clank shots. So it was 31-31 at halftime. Second half, Oklahoma shot better. Oklahoma rebounded the ball better. UC got out-rebound this game. And that's UC's strength, which is rebounding the basketball. They're one of the best rebounding teams in the country. But in this game, especially in the second half, Oklahoma was the more physical team when it comes to getting the ball out of the glass. And if you look at the box score for this game, UC was led by Seamus Lokosis. He has 17 points. He had 4 three-pointers on 12 attempts. John Newman III had 14 points. And then after that, that was pretty much the offensive scoring for the Bearcats. Walken only had 5 points. Badengo had 5 points. Day-Day had 8 points. Jameel had 6 points off the bench. Jizzle James had 5 points. Josh Reed had 4. UC's offense just continues to struggle. And they go through stretches and games where they go on a major offensive drought. UC was 38.6% from the field and was 7-for-26 from 3. And then the free throws. The Bearcats' free throws have been such a pain during conference play. In this game, they missed 8 free throws. They went 14-for-22 from the free throw line. They're free. Free. And I know sometimes Wes Miller is like, free throws do not decide games. But Wes, you need to stop that, because they do decide games where your team lose so closely in these games is because they're missing the front end of free throws. They always go 1-for-2 or just miss both of them. And then on conference play, I realized that when UC shoot really bad from the free throw line, the opponents do the opposite and shoot great. Oklahoma in this game were 16-for-18. I don't know why that just came on. Oh, we're struggling. Okay, see, we're a mess. We're a mess. Y'all just heard that from the background. Yep, we're a mess, just like UC free throws. But I don't know what UC has to do to get their free throws better. I mean, you can always say that, they gotta stay extra from the gym or stay later after practice to shoot more free throws. Yeah, you can do that, but you just gotta be better at shooting your free throws. You really do. You gotta take your time. I feel like sometimes when UC steps in the free throw line, any of the players, It just feels like they're rushing their free throws. Take your time. Dribble the ball real long. I don't care. You have to get a good quality shot from the free throw line. Like, come on now. So that was a frustrating game for the Bearcats. But in the Big 12 play, you have no room to pout on your loss because 2 days from now, UC had a game in Kansas against the 7th-ranked Kansas City. Whew. I am out of it right now. I can't even talk. I'm thinking about the Kansas City Chiefs and why I picked them to win over the Ravens this weekend. And now I'm saying Kansas City. I can't even speak. Oh, my goodness, guys. We're struggling. But we're still out here. So UC's next game was against the Kansas Jayhawks. First time UC going to Phog Allen. Historic basketball arena. And Kansas were coming off a loss to the West Virginia Mountaineers, the 6-11 West Virginia Mountaineers last Saturday, losing and giving up 91 points to the Mountaineers. It's another game in the Big 12 where a team just upset a team, and this conference, teams just beat each other up. So UC is playing a Kansas team coming off a loss. I knew that this was going to be a tough game. And Kansas jumped out to a 10-2 lead. And I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, we're going to get annihilated. But credit UC to just sticking to the game plan, playing good defense. And they made some shots. They had some turnovers. UC had 10 turnovers in the first half in this game. 10. And the game was tied at 35. I was very shocked by that result. But in the second half, UC's offense decided not to show up, and they went on a scoring drought. And then Kansas, they made their shots, but it just felt like the game was still close. They didn't put the lead up to like 15 or 20, but UC was still like down by like 7-9 points. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Kansas, just put this game away. And then UC decided to make their shots late in the game, but it was already too late. And UC falls to Kansas 74-69. 5-point loss. And people are telling me, oh, you only lost to Kansas by 5 at their place? You should be like very encouraged. I'm going to keep telling you guys this. I don't take moral victories. And at this point, good losses, they count as losses. I don't care. Yeah, we lost to a team on the road, and they're a top 10 team. But you need to start winning these games because the selection committee are not going to look at UC's resume and say, oh, they lost to a good team on the road. It's a good loss. No, it's still a loss. It's still a loss. I don't do more victories here. You got to win those games. Like, you should have beaten Oklahoma. You should have beaten Texas. Probably say you should have beaten Baylor. But like, no. There's no such thing as a good loss. It still counts as a loss. And you got to win those games. You look at the box score for this game. John Newman had 11 points. Dan Skillings was the reason why UC was in the game in the first half. Dude had 16 points in the first half. Jizzle James had 10 points coming off the bench. Played 18 minutes. Victor Larkin, 7 points. Victor Larkin has been very disappointing these last 2 games. Seamus Lokosius, after having 17 points against Oklahoma on Saturday, this guy only had 4 points. He was 0-6 from 3. I think the one good thing that came out of this game was that UC was 18-23 from the free throw line. 78.3%. Holy moly. I hope I'm reading that correctly on my laptop. They only shot 23 free throw attempts. They made 18. But here's the thing. UC was 3-18 from 3. 16.7%. Overall for the game, UC shot 39.3% from the field. And then UC, they did a good job handling Kansas big man Dickinson, who only had 10 points. But then this guy named, can't pronounce his name. His last name is like F-U-R-P-H-Y. This guy had 23 points. And then McCullough Jr. had 20 points. And then Kansas bench, they don't really play the bench in Kansas. I don't know what Bill Self, he's very concerned about that. Their bench points, they only had 2 points off the bench. Obviously, UC had more bench points because Skillings and James combined for 26 points. And Jameel Reynolds had 6 points as well. Still don't matter. UC still lost the game. And now UC's record now is 13-6 overall. 2-4 in conference play. And UC's next game is on Saturday as they will take on the UCF Knights. 7 o'clock Eastern. The game will be at Fifth Third Arena. It will be a tough game because UCF just beat Texas. And also UCF beat Kansas at home a week ago. So it'll be another nail-biter game. Every Big 12 game from here on out, it's going to be a nail-biter. But for UC, they have to beat UCF on Saturday. And then on Wednesday, they go to Morgantown to take on West Virginia. They got to end this month 4-4 in Big 12 play. You missed opportunities against Texas and Oklahoma and Baylor. You can't miss this opportunity here. You cannot be 3-5 heading into February in this conference. Because you look at the February schedule, UC has at Texas Tech, they're ranked 20th. Home against Houston, they're 4th. They play Iowa State at home, they're 23rd. At UCF, home against Oklahoma State, and then at TCU, and then at Houston to end the month. And so it's very important that UC wins these next two games. Is it going to be tough? Damn right it is. It's life of the Big 12, but UC makes every basketball game seem like it's just life or death. That's how this team is going to be. So I hope that Victor Locken plays well in the next two games, because if he doesn't, I might start screaming. And I'm not going to trash him on this podcast. And I'm not going to trash his team because I'm not going to trash the team. I'm not going to trash some players because I always remind myself they're college kids. They're college kids. So that's what I'm going to just keep telling myself. Like when I'm watching games and when something happens or a careless turnover or Day-Day misses an easy layup like he's been doing over the last couple of games or just during conference play in general, I just step back and just breathe and be like, they're college players. But this team, they fight. They really do. They don't give up. But they're just such a frustrating bunch because their record in conference play can be 5-1 right now. But I'm really excited for the future of Cincinnati Bearcats men's basketball. Once UC gets more talent, oh man, they're going to be there. They're going to be there. Give it like 2 more years and watch. They're going to be in the top of the Big 12. It's going to come real soon. It really is. But you got to get these wins against UCF and West Virginia coming up. All right. So, also, I forgot to talk about in the NFL. Jim Harbaugh, Michigan's head coach, is now the next head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. And I think that Jim Harbaugh is going to help out Justin Herbert because Herbert has been dealt with a lot since he's been in the NFL with not good coaching. And I think Jim Harbaugh is a really damn good coach. He led Michigan to the national title this past season. And when he was in the NFL, he took the Niners to the Super Bowl and 3 straight NFC championship game appearances. So I think that Jim Harbaugh is the right guy for Justin Herbert. I just hope he's the right guy for the Chargers in general. So good for him. And that should be very interesting when it comes to if he's going to revive the Los Angeles Chargers organization. So it's been a crazy week, guys. It's been a crazy week in the NFL. And it's just the beginning. Once the Super Bowl ends, offseason picks up when the free agencies and et cetera, NFL draft, I think it's going to be even more crazier. All right. That's pretty much it for this podcast. But like I said earlier, a friend of mine who is going to be on this podcast after his season ends. And why I say after the season ends, because right now he's currently an NFL official, and you guys are going to see him because it was announced on Tuesday that Terry Killens, who is a former NFL player, he played college ball at Penn State. He played 6 seasons in the NFL, and he's been an NFL official since 2019. It was announced on Tuesday that he is going to be officiating in this year's Super Bowl. I know Terry very well. I was about to get him on the podcast last year. That didn't work out. And I told him this year, I'm getting you on the podcast as soon as your season ends. But now that he's going to be in the Super Bowl, that podcast is going to be delayed. But that's okay because we have lots to talk about after the season's end. So congrats, Terry. If you're listening to this podcast, sir, very proud of you. And I think you guys are going to like the podcast that I'm going to do with him once the season ends in the Super Bowl. So he deserves that honor to be an official in this year's Super Bowl in Vegas. And proud of him. And I think you guys are going to like the podcast episode that I'm going to put out with him in the next month. All right, guys. I appreciate you guys always listening to my podcast. If you're listening to it on thoughts, can't even talk today, but it's Friday, so I can't complain. If you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, give it a review, give it a 5-star, and shout out to my new followers on this podcast. And always, I give a shout out to my Day Zero OG supporters of this podcast. You know who you are, and you guys are greatly appreciated. You guys have a great weekend, and football. I'm hoping the Lions or Niners. I just hope they beat whoever comes out of the AFC in the Super Bowl. I really do, because I cannot go another year talking to those fan bases of Kansas City and Baltimore. I can't do it. You guys have a good weekend, and I will talk to you guys next week. Peace.